Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is Attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
You're listening to The V-Show on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, in for Bob Valvano, it's Jeff Greer.
Today we are raising money for Cram the Van with our friends at Focus Live from Kroger here in Stony Brook off Taylorsville Road. And Focus has already matched listener donations today to benefit Wayside Christian Mission, the Salvation Army, and St. Vincent de Paul. But you can continue to make your donations. People streaming in here at the Stony Brook Kroger, dropping money in the little pail outside the store here. And you can also go find us on GoFundMe. Search Cram the Van on GoFundMe or head to ESPNLouisville.com or at ESPN 680 to find the link. Or you can also call a number. It's 593-5662. That's 593-5662. Or you can find St. Vincent de Paul on Venmo at SVDPLou. And, of course, you can just come and donate in person here at the Stony Brook Kroger. We're taking all the money we raise and let the charity spend it the following Wednesday so they can cram a Sternberg van and truck full of toys and clothes. And that's All Day Live from Kroger here in Stony Brook with Focus Caffeinated Sparkling Water. Well, let's welcome in our friend, my buddy Myron Medcalf, who years ago was delightful enough to enjoy a drink with me at the Sports and Social Club on 4th Street Live after, I believe, another Big Ten ACC challenge. He was in the crowd last night. He was working TV. Great job on TV, my guy. I know this is kind of a new part of your multifaceted gig with ESPN. You look comfortable out there, my man.
I appreciate it, man. I just, you know, I got to buy these suits and stuff. You know, I'm more of a casual. Like, I'm an old school sports writer, dude. So, you know, that part's going to take some getting used to, man.
I need to see, like, some hats. I want to see the gigantic pocket squares. I mean, I want to see it all, man. You got to really vibe into that TV role. I think you can.
Yeah, I think the thing is, though, you can't fake it, right? Like, if I just show up with, like, a bright pink pocket square, I'm trying too hard, right? So you don't want to be that guy on
TV. That's true.
But you also don't want to be, you know, too casual sports writer dude either. So I'm trying to find a happy medium somewhere in between there.
Well, you got some time here. The season's still young, so I'm sure we'll see you at some point, and we'll be like, okay, Myron has clicked in. We're talking with Myron Medcalf from ESPN, and Myron had a chance to be around Louisville in addition to Michigan State ahead of last night's game. Let's go first and foremost to just kind of your takeaways from being around Louisville. What was the vibe you got, Chris Mack, back with the team after his suspension, just being around the team the last 36 hours?
Well, I mean, you know, he didn't skip a beat. I mean, he wasn't, you know, any different than I think what you would imagine. He was tough on them as they were getting ready to play that important game against Michigan State. And I mean, practice has seemed normal. You know, Chris said the biggest thing was not missing the games as much as it was missing the time in between and just not really knowing how his team was developing. But, you know, I think the energy was good. Guys were excited. They were fired up. They just didn't have enough, you know, to beat Michigan State on the road. But, you know, I think they'll continue to grow now that Chris is officially back.
Yeah, I think that's going to be something. We're talking with Myron Medcalf from ESPN. That will be maybe one of the most fascinating parts about this Louisville team. And every team has interesting parts of their process. But, you know, for a guy who missed the first six games, I mean, yeah, he can take notes on his notepad and talk to Mike Pegues about the rotations. But I feel like it's a little underrated, Myron, how much a coach's feel for his team and to know what guys to put in, what guys to yank quickly or leave out there, when to call timeouts, all that stuff. That's just something you get from game knowledge and coaching on the sideline, isn't it?
It is, and he had access to none of that. I mean, you know, according to the team, he had zero contact with anybody. You know, couldn't converse with anybody on the team. Midnight before the season, that was his last time with the team until, you know, I think midnight on this Sunday. So, yeah, you get that information as you're learning about this team, and he hasn't really had that opportunity to truly learn about this team and kind of what the rotations are looking like. And I think things will change. You know, A, I don't know that they're going to be this deep. Like, I don't know that they're going to play as many guys as they're playing, you know, as they played so far. And then you wonder about certain guys like an L. Ellis, who it's like, okay, find a way to use whatever that dude did against Michigan State. You know, tap into that. Can you get a Jalen Withers to play to his potential, man? That was so frustrating to watch. I got to say, man, I'm not critical on young players. I don't think you should do that in our biz. No, these aren't pro athletes. But I'm just looking at Jalen Withers and being like, dude, it's all there, man. Like, you got it all. You just got to put it together. So I think Chris Mack is going to start tinkering with some things in the rotation as he learns more about this group hands-on.
Well, Myron, as you would have seen in their shoot-around and being around them, and I've seen it in a couple of practices I've attended, no one gets more attention from the coaches than Jalen Withers, just in the sense of they are trying to push him to believe that he can be a star. And he performed the way that you would think a guy who is ready for a breakthrough season with the times I saw him in October. But it's a whole different ballgame when the lights come on. And, you know, he's been kind of undone by some foul trouble. They're trying to get him to dunk the ball more. But, yeah, the tools are all there. I get the same vibe from Sam Williamson. He's got a lot to him. And there have been some times where he's been strugglesome, and last night was one of them where he just was not a factor for a former McDonald's All-American.
Yeah, I mean, this is one. I mean, I've been covering this sport for 15 years, and I remember those old Patino Louisville teams. Like, this is the first time I've seen a Louisville team where it was like guys were afraid to hit that alpha button. You know, I mean, if you watch that game and what happened, it wasn't hard to see. Gabe Brown decided early on that he was going to be dominant, that he was going to be aggressive, and that kind of got things going for Michigan State. And then Malik Hall was like, hey, man, there's an opening for me, too, off the bench. I'm going to make something happen. And you didn't have that with Jalen. You didn't have that with some of the other guys on that roster, but you need to have that. Like, somebody on that team has to be okay with other guys being upset because he's playing that hard or playing that aggressive, right? Like, that's what teams do. Like, somebody eventually just sort of takes that role. And I don't think Louisville has that person. And if they do, he hasn't emerged. And, like, the whole team basketball concept is, like, cool on paper, and it's great for basketball instructional videos. It doesn't win you anything. Like, at the end of the day, the best teams have 1, 2, 3 guys who separate themselves in those moments, and that's what Louisville needed. So is that Jalen Withers? You know, is it Malik? You know, coming off the injuries he's dealt with, is it Dre Davis? I love Jared West's leadership and what he's been able to do, but is it him? Does he have to be more of that guy? Noah Locke, I think he went 0-for-7 or something like that. We know he can shoot. You got to prove it. Do you bring a guy like L. Ellis back into the rotation or move him up in the rotation after what we saw from him? But, like, somebody, and L. Ellis actually did that against Michigan State, but someone has to consistently decide that, okay, in those moments, it's on me, and I got to make something happen.
Yeah, and he's coming into the season. I mean, he was the one who had the potential of if he started to reach that that level and that ability to create for others and score for himself off the bounce, hitting some threes, that he could be that guy. We were talking about that before the season, and this was the first time that he did it in an actual game. But we're talking with Myron Metcalf from ESPN. And Myron, just let's zoom out a little bit more, the 10,000-foot view of this one. First and foremost, where do you land on Michigan State as a squad? I was trying to explain to people. Some people believe me, some people don't. I mean, 10 of 18 from three from that Michigan State squad is probably scratching the ceiling of how good they can be from distance. They seem to me more like a grinded-out team that's going to have to find easier buckets around the rim.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be their MO going forward. You know, they got hot in front of the home crowd, but I don't think that'll be the norm. I do think they're more of a grinded out team. They're a lot like Louisville in that. I don't know that they have a guy, you know. They got a lot of talented players. They got a lot of players who you go, okay, one of those, you know, those guys could step up. I mean, Marcus Bingham, the vet. We've seen what Gabe Brown has done. Joey Hauser is kind of just Joey Hauser at this point. Max Christie and the young guy, you know, they're waiting to break him out. They talked a lot about that, trying to get him to break out. But then you get a Malik Hall off the bench, you know, and A.J. Hoggard. I mean, the Jaden Akins. I mean, I think the biggest difference was Michigan had all those contributors off the bench, and Louisville did not have as much of a punch, although L. Ellis was great. But, you know, I think Michigan State can be a good team. I don't know if anyone can touch Purdue. You know, Ohio State beats Duke. Everyone gets excited. That's a good team. But I also saw them nearly lose to Akron. But I think Purdue's just ahead of everybody in the Big Ten, and then that next tier is where you get Ohio State, Michigan State. I don't know what's wrong with Michigan. I think they'll be in that category as well. And then, you know, Wisconsin's ugly basketball, but they're there along with that group. But I think Purdue's just that much better than everybody else. They might lose like two games in league play.
Yeah, they look unreal. I mean, they look absolutely unreal. We're talking with Myron Metcalf from ESPN. And Myron, before we let you go, you've been very gracious with your time here today. I obviously got to ask you about Kentucky, too. After the Duke game, I think they kind of start playing some teams that no one's really paying attention to. They did get a good win, though, against Ohio and starting to come back onto the national scene of how good this team can be. What have you garnered from watching them this season so far? Where do you think they are as a club?
I think they're a good team. They got a good mix of, you know, some youth and experience, and you don't see that a lot, you know, with Cal. I remember how big of a deal it was when Reed Travis came over from Stanford. Like, whoa, a veteran grad transfer. Now they got a bunch of those guys who are vets. So I think they can be a good team. You know, I think we'll look back and say Duke caught them at the right time. But I think they'll evolve into a team that, and they are evolving into a team that is at that level, can play at that level. But here's the bottom line. Is Shaedon Sharpe playing or not? Because at the end of the day, that's the biggest question. If Shaedon Sharpe is playing, then that changes everything you think about Kentucky basketball going into SEC play. And the rumors are that that's a consideration. So I'm just waiting to hear on that. If you tell me Shaedon Sharpe is playing, that changes everything for that team.
That guy is unbelievable. So that would be that would be a big boost for the Cats, no question about it. And Calipari's actually coming up and talking here in about 10 minutes. So we'll let you go, Myron. Thank you so much for your time, man, and great job last night on TV. I know it's a big adjustment to be live on TV like that. You still get the pit in the stomach. I've started to do it a little bit more myself, and it is just like I was not prepared for when the light comes on and they say go. You're like, oh, all right, this is serious now. But you did a great job, and we'll be looking out for you the rest of the season.
I appreciate it.
All right, that's Myron Metcalf from ESPN, and we really appreciate his time here. And we're going to go ahead and talk a little bit with Rich Flaherty from St. Vincent de Paul. How are things going here for Cram the Van so far, man? This has been a big day for you guys.
Jeff, it's going great. We want to thank everybody for their support and the people who have come out of either stopped by here and dropped off money in the kettle or went online on the Venmo or went online on the GoFundMe or, you know, made the phone call. We've got great response from everybody. I'm sure we'll get an update from Drew soon on the total. But I know that it's, you know, we're definitely at or almost past last year so far. So it's fantastic news. And you know, it's just a wonderful thing. All three organizations do great work in town. Obviously, I work at St. Vincent de Paul, but, you know, I'm very familiar with both Wayside and Salvation Army. And we all actually had a question just a minute ago. We all work together. You know, we're all going after the same thing, which is to, you know, is really to end homelessness here in Louisville and work with the folks who need the most help. And, you know, you house them and feed them and give them the support they need to really survive and to live and be the best person they can be.
How do you guys, to explain to people out there, as people continue, we just saw Benji the Mower Man came in here, and after destroying our softball team, was gracious enough to give us a nice little donation. But can you explain to people how the money is used? What is the process behind these donations?
Yeah, so what will happen is all the donations will be split up between the three organizations. ESPN Louisville has got a fantastic relationship with Kohl's. We will all go over there and shop at Kohl's. And when I say shop, it pretty much, you know, imagine, you know, if you're out there spending $15,000 to get stuff for the kids, which is what we're doing at St. Vincent de Paul for our Santa shop, we pretty much grab everything we can find, everything we need, all size clothes for every child from newborn all the way up through 18-year-olds. And we literally pack the big cloth bins, probably 6 to 8 of those cloth bins full of stuff. And so we do that the day before on the 7th, and then the 8th is the, we call it the shopping day, but really it's the paying day. It's we stand in at the cash register and literally run all those through the cash register, and the Kohl's folks are fantastic. They have to scan every single item, so they scan them all through, we bag them back up, we take them back to our facilities. And all three organizations have starting on the 11th and 12th with us, but from the 11th and 12th all the way through Christmas, we all have programs where families come and they basically get shop for free. That's what we do. We set up our gym at our Family Success Center as a mini mall. The parents come through and they can shop for free, usually get 5 to 6 gifts for their children. And then they take them back with them, and they'll have them for Christmas. And honestly, for the 95% of these kids, it's probably the only Christmas presents they would have gotten if they weren't able to connect up with any of the organizations. For those of us who have kids and you've gone out and shopping for your kids and you messed with the mall, this is a much different experience because we're buying for 400 kids.
Yeah.
Or plus, actually probably closer to 800 kids total. So it's a great experience. And thanks to ESPN for hosting this and your listeners. I mean, it's incredible. This level of support for organizations like us, it means so much to us.
Yeah. I mean, and it's just fun, and the energy is great. Everybody's in a good mood. It's that time of year. And by the way, if you do come out to the Stony Brook Kroger, we're handing out these $5 off Kroger Plus coupons for a purchase of $25 or more. Lord knows I could use $5 off. I mean, good Lord, the money I spend at Kroger, man.
If you come by and give us a $5 bill, you're getting to donate for free.
Yeah, great.
And you're getting that right back out when you go and shop. So,
there you go.
We've had a lot of people take advantage of that, and we appreciate that, too.
Awesome. And it is valid here for Kroger, so make sure that you take advantage of that. Well, thank you so much for sitting in with us. We got John Calipari's coming up at 1:30. Got to clear the airwaves.
Got to get out of the way
for the Emperor as he gets ready to talk today. His team is playing really well, but thank you so much.
No problem.
We're having a great time here with you guys. So this is super fun and
fantastic.
Happy holidays.
Thank you.
Well, we'll take a break here. And just as a reminder, here we are sitting at the Stony Brook Kroger off Taylorsville Road. We're here until 6 o'clock today. If you want to come by and say hello, Santa will arrive between 2 and 5 p.m. If you want to meet Santa Claus,
I don't know if he's
bringing any elves or any reindeer. I don't know if that was Nick or if that was actually Elf, but either way, he sounded awfully close to Elf. But Santa is coming. There'll be face painting, and just what a great thing to be a part of. You can, of course, hit up Venmo at SVDPLou. You can also get on the GoFundMe and search Cram the Van, or you can call 593-5662 to make a donation. There's links all over at ESPN 680 on Twitter and on ESPNLouisville.com. So there's no way that you can't get in there and find something. And, of course, big shout-out and big thanks to our partners at Focus as well. There's a bunch of Focus here. So if you want to come by the Stony Brook Kroger, you can pick up some Focus and enjoy their drinks. Get a little caffeine boost here in the afternoon. When we come back, we will take you to John Calipari's press conference for Kentucky as he talks about his team playing really well right now, getting ready for the weekend. And then we'll be back here talking after that. So we'll take a break here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. You're listening to The V Show.
You're listening to The V-Show on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, in for Bob Valvano, it's Jeff Greer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back in to The V-Show. We are rolling right along here at the Stony Brook Kroger. We are here until 6 o'clock today, so come on by, say hello, drop some dollars off to donate to the annual Cram the Van Rush here. We are having a great time raising money for a great cause. Santa and the face painters will be here from 2 to 5 today. If you want to come by and enjoy that, maybe bring a kid, bring your kids or kid along and enjoy that part of this whole day. It's a really fun day here for ESPN Louisville and Kroger and our friends at Focus, along with, of course, the Salvation Army, St. Vincent de Paul, and Wayside Christian Mission. If you want to Venmo the donation, you can find at SVDP Lou, and just make sure that when you do that, you're typing in on the business side of the Venmo app. You should be able to find them in that way. You can also go on the GoFundMe page by searching Cram the Van. There's a phone number you can call, 593-5662. That is 593-5662. Or, of course, you can just come by and say hello. John Calipari is coming up here to talk for Kentucky, and we're going to go out to his press conference.
The same reason, you know, bring light to those schools and what they do and their unique ability to train the future leaders. So it's a good thing.
Just curious, with Southern, Ben Jones back in the day, Angry, did you ever have any interactions with some of those HBCUs coaches when you were starting in the 80s?
Ben Jones sent me a great letter. Maybe I'll put it out, okay, about when we platooned. He just wanted to remind me that you weren't the first to do that. This is how we used to play. And, it's a letter that I framed. It's in my office because when someone of that stature – and it was a complimentary letter, but he did remind me that we had done this. So, yes, and you know, Big House Gaines, and, you know, you just think of, you know, we talk about John McClendon. In a different era, those would have been the John Thompsons, the George Ravelings, the John Chaneys, the, you know, that would have been those coaches in a different era. But, you know, it's again like learning about John McClendon, who is part of this, will be about positions within the McClendon initiative. But when you learn, you're like, wow, and to do what he did in the circumstances, the way things were, it's amazing.
John, you said the Underground Railroad was the unity series, the Minority Leadership Initiative. What motivates you to get involved with this and try to bring about, you know, that kind of change?
Well, when you see something that you don't feel is quite right, and you're in a position to make a difference, it's probably a sin if you don't try. And so I don't know. It's kind of like the girl walking along the beach throwing the starfish back in the ocean, and there were hundreds of them. And the guy says, you know what, young lady, you can't, you're not even going to have an impact. I mean, there's 1,000 of them. And she said, but it impacted that life. It's impacting that life. And I think kind of people, and it's not me, it's us, what we're doing here. I hope other schools do. What we did with the McClendon was supposed to only be on our campus until I was convinced, why don't you get other coaches? And then Tommy and I got together to say, okay, let's put a list together who we could get and who would do it. The McClendon's up to, I believe, 50 future leaders. It started at 30-something. 28 of those got jobs and moved on, and got a great email about, some other people wanting to jump behind this and even make it bigger, which, you know, I'm excited about. But all that we're doing, could we do more? Yeah. I always ask the question, why now and why not 10 years ago? So when you say, Cal, it's really nice you're doing this, your second question, why didn't you do this 10 years ago? Why didn't you do this a long time ago? Why now? What? And it's a good question. But we are trying to say, you know, let's – and it's not only men of color, it's women that are that need to be more involved, and it's – you know, it's all that, and so you're basically bringing light to it and educating and having people look and say, wow, you know, you're right. This is a small step, and I'd like to say, the good news is, when you go into a, and I live in some places where you go into a community and you do some stuff and you leave. I had a good friend of mine, Paul Tudor Jones, tell me, did that make you feel good? You went in and did something and you left. I said, yeah, great, because you did basically nothing for that community. You did it for yourself. So if you can do something that's done over a period of time and is sustainable, now you're doing it for that community. Other than that, you're doing it for yourself. You're going in and, yeah, you feel good? Great. You did nothing for the community. So hopefully what we coaches that are involved in the initiative, and that's across the country now. It's east to west, north to south, and it's coach-driven. It's coach-funded. We do have now McDonald's and some other companies jumping in. We'd like to go Division II, Division III, have athletic departments have an opportunity. The HBCUs, have them have opportunities. To bring people in, and then let's see where it goes in 10 years. Then you'll know whether, and I'm a guy that does numbers. I mean, if I try to be as generous as I can be, but I also give and then I ask. Tell me what it did. You want me to give more to your cause? Tell me what, give me numbers. Give me the impact. And I would say the same thing with this, to five, 10 years down the road, did the McClendon Initiative have an impact? What we're doing on this Unity scheduling, did it have an impact? What was the impact? Then, you know, you're not doing it to make yourself feel better. We are so beat up and sick. Thank goodness we're not playing. I don't know. I was supposed to travel. I got the sniffles, and I get a little, you know, nasal chest. And I worked out today just trying to say maybe that'll make me feel better. But we've had one with mono, one with strep throat. Probably can't give all of it, but you have guys. Today's practice will probably have seven players there and like two managers. I mean, managers are getting – I was supposed to go, and you guys and ladies know I'm not – like I travel. Like if I need to go see a kid or I go. I canceled today for the first time in as long as I can remember, only because I don't want to get worn out and then maybe catch something more than I have. Now, I would never think that way. I would go sick. I would go coughing. I would go with the – I would just go. But I think all that we're going through, you start approaching things a little different. We are sanitizing everything in the path of our team. The lodge, the bathrooms, the common areas, the balls – the weight room, and we're sick. Then I was asking, is any other team in here sick, or are we the only ones sick? So,
some team's got a lot to work on. What's one or two things you're really hoping your guys improve on here in the Southern game? What's something you really?
It's not about the Southern game. The Southern game is going to be a great test because they play hard. They play dribble drive. They're going to try to beat us on the bounce. What we have to get better at, how we finish a game. Like, I took guys out the last game. Oh, you're going to mess around the last 5-6 minutes? Well, then you won't be in. This is about us playing against ourselves. And the second thing is we need another post-up guy or two. So we've got this week to find out. Is there another action that we can use to get into something that can post? And it doesn't have to be Oscar. Who's another guy that we can post up? How about we need threes? How can we do this? How about I saw a late game situation that we just hadn't talked about. You're up three with 5 seconds to go. Do you foul? You're up three with 5 seconds to go. Raise your hand if you foul. Raise your hand. You're not going to foul? You're fouling? Okay. All the you that said that, Syracuse fouled and Indiana went back and scored on a missed free. Well, what if you'd have a bad rebounding team? Do you foul? What if they're a 40% three-point shooting team? Do you foul? What if they don't make threes? Do you foul? Like, what do you call? Do you say, foul, foul? And then they know you're fouling, and they shoot the ball from half court as you foul, and then they get three free throws. Wait a minute. Okay, now you're at the line, and you're down three, and you make the first. Have you worked on missing and what you're looking to do? We haven't. So we got some situations now that we'll work on. It's all that kind of stuff. It's us. How are we playing offensively? How about this one? Oscar's out. All right, how do we play now? Now how do we play? We had one game after another with a day off and then another day. You know, team, now we have a little time. Okay, that's great. Now I got 7 guys in practice. So we have time and I got no players. The coaches are getting good at the stuff, but the guys aren't here. So we got work to do. I believe so, but I don't know. And I believe we are.
In the past, you mentioned over and over, we just haven't had time to do that. With this team, how many of those hypotheticals that you just mentioned either keep you up at night or say, I wonder if Frank's can do this, or if they ought to see that, or what have you?
The good news is I do have some veterans. And I really like my guards. So they're really smart. We're doing some things on the fly, and they're getting it, which tells me if we hit it in practice once every 2 or 3 days, even if it's 3-4 minutes, they'll have it. They'll own it. Still got to work on Oscar. You know, I'm watching some of these teams post the ball that all they do is jam it in. That ain't who he is, but you got to get a couple of those. So it's not on him. That's on me. I got to figure it out. And here was my statement to the team yesterday. How is Oscar playing for us, for the team? Unbelievable. I mean, really. So if I'm only worried about what he does for us, I leave it like it is. Go get your 16 points and 16 rebounds. We'll be fine. But if I care about him, I got to let him shoot some jump shots. I got to teach him better in the post so he gets some easy baskets. We've got to work on him defensively, because if you can't guard in the pick and roll or guard a guard and you just leave your feet and go, I'm not helping you. So it was kind of like what I said about Sevier. What did I tell him? I know what you'll do for us. Here's what we have to do for you as a player. What was one? Nope. disruptive defense. If you played like you played a year ago, where you backed off and died in every screen and acted like you didn't care, I'm not helping you. But if you're disruptive defensively, you're mixing it up, you're diving, you're playing, and our defense starts on you and you elevate things and everybody sees it, it helps you too. You have to shoot a floater because you're going to get shots blocked if you try to keep going. Shoot the floater. You got to add it to your game. Third thing I told him was, you don't have to make every three. You can't miss them all. So now instead of 21%, let's make it 30, 31, 33, 30. Then, all right, that's, he can make that three. Oh, he's got a floater. He's not going to lose his layup, especially when he goes left. He also has it when he goes right. But he's disruptive. He's got floaters. Now we've helped Sadir. And you're trying to say that for all the guys. I'm still trying to figure out Bryce. I think we're going to do some things this week that I'm going to try with he and Jacob. And let's see if that helps. And this is what happens to us every year. It just takes time till we figure out. And when the kids are doing what they do best, then they build their own confidence. If they're trying to do stuff, some of it is, I'm going to do what I did in high school. Won't work. Sorry. But they're doing stuff that's too hard. The minute it goes south, they start shooting air balls. Because they're just not, their confidence is that thick right now. So we're trying to get to where here's where you're at your best. Do these things here. And the same with Damian. You know, same with him.
John, you had, speaking of the three-point fouling situation, you had a situation like that in Memphis, as I recall. Didn't go well.
We worked for 2 months because I saw a game. And we worked on it.
Right.
And there was the situation. It was there.
Yep.
And the kid did something to get away from my guard.
I remember.
And instead of fouling him, he was afraid they were going to call intentional foul.
Right.
Make two, take it out, we get beat.
Right.
So he kind of let him go, and he switched out. And the whole time he was doing, I was yelling the word we used.
Right.
Everybody knew what we were supposed to be doing. And then, you know, they asked me after the game, and I basically said, when a coach has a 9-point lead with 2:30 to go, you're supposed to win the game. So leave it at that. That I did ask the young man, did you know we were trying to foul? Yeah, but here's why I didn't. Perfect answer. This is on me.
I'm wondering, did that affect the way you approach that situation now because of what happened then?
It does, but it also, are we a great rebounding team? Then you foul. Are you a crappy, soft rebounding team? Then, no, we're playing it out. Because let me tell you what else could happen. Make the first soft, crappy rebounder. They grab it, and you know what the soft, crappy rebounder is going to do. And the kid's going to make it because he's so soft. Boom. Now you lose.
Does that have a guy coming back? He's got his jersey off. Deshaun, has his game translated to coaching? Like, do you see things that you saw?
You know, I watched tape today, and, you know, he is he's coaching him. He's coaching him with great demeanor. You know, he's a good guy. He and I go way back. And, you know, I'm happy he's got this opportunity, and he'll grow from here. I mean, I think he'll have opportunities from Southern to do other jobs. But right now, he's, you know, he's coaching and doing what he's got to do to help those kids.
I know you went and visited Coach Hall the other day. Visited Coach Hall on his birthday.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about his legacy and
let me tell you the biggest thing. The biggest thing. His sister was there. I met his sister for the first time. Every time I see him, he has a smile on his face. And everybody talks about how rough and tough he was as a coach. Like, he was, like, mean. I swear to you, I've never seen him without a smile on his face. even then. I mean, he's 93 years old. You guys put him through the ringer. And he's still smiling. And I did say this to him. I teased him. I said, hey, did you watch the last game, Coach? We played the 1-3-1. He looked up at me, smiled, and I said, we really didn't play the 1-3-1. And he started laughing, and his daughters are laughing. But I'm just happy he's close enough that I can go see him now and again. I call his daughter because I don't want to bother and bust in, but I miss him at practice, you know, when I could come in and see he and Al and the guys there. I haven't seen John Y. Gov hasn't been in. You know, but yeah, the biggest thing I could tell you, look, here's what I'd say. Guys leave a job that they've been in and had success. Let's be real. How much do they really want the next guy to win? I'm just going to be honest. They'll encourage you to hire somebody that they know they can't win. I've been blessed. Jack Lehman, just like Coach Hall, Coach Lehman was my biggest supporter, my mentor, my psychiatrist. Gave me. Here's what he would do. You want to go for coffee? That meant he wanted to talk basketball. This was Coach Lehman. And he would not start until I'd say, Coach, what do you think? And then he'd just go for 40 minutes. But he'd wait for me to say it. Coach Hall was similar. Coach Bartow, can you imagine I walk into Memphis and Coach Bartow was there and my biggest cheerleader and the guy that promoted and helped and was a mentor to me. And then I come here and it's the same thing. Coach Hall, I've told you this story. The first practice I went to, there were 22 guys. I thought I had a football team. I'm like, who are all these guys? And there were 22 of them. And I said, hold on. And he's sitting there watching me do this. I made all the walk-ons, like there are 11 of them, go to the side and put their toes on the sideline. So I could just see, I got it. And then I had the managers, no lie. When a kid shot it, I made them yell out his name and say, good shot, Pat, Patrick. So I was trying to figure out who was who. I knew Patrick and a couple of the guys. And it was done. And I go in the room and my hands, I'm like this. Oh, my God, what did I do? What have I done? And he walks in and puts his hand on my back. He says, you don't worry. You are going to be great here. You watch. Don't worry about one day. And that's what the first thing he said to me. And, you know, I'm just telling you, I've done this a long time. Very unusual for the last coach to want the next one to win. There's only going to be a few of us that are that way. I said a few of us that way.
All right, guys, done today.
All right, that was John Calipari. They still are a couple of days out from their game against Southern coming up on Tuesday, but kind of a cool thing that they're doing that Calipari is a part of and Kentucky is a part of, so nice to hear a little bit about that. Let's take a break here, Nick, because when we come back, we want to keep talking up what an exciting day it is here for ESPN Louisville, for Kroger, for Focus. What a big day for Wayside Christian Mission, Salvation Army, and St. Vincent de Paul. It's the annual Cram the Van event, and we are trying to end the day with a flourish. And on the other side of the break here, I want to talk about something that you could be eligible to win if you participate in this year's Cram the Van right here on The V Show on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.